You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Down with mutual obligations.
Raise the rate.
Fair and equal treatment for all.
CR, always bringing you the latest union news.
They're coming after us at the moment. They want to get rid of penalty rates, the big push from businesses. They want to get rid of all the things that you and I have fought for.
So there's tens of thousands of jobs gone, contracted out to sham contracting arrangements.
On 8:55 a.m. and on the web, 3cr.org.au.
Don't go out with the swag man and head down to the creek. You'll catch up with the bad man riding your horse right past Shit Creek. We'll find those muddy waters and camp out by the trees, out where we take no orders, riding your horse right past Shit Creek.
You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 8:55 a.m. and you just heard the song Shit Creek by Olivia Lay. Lovely tune to start the show today. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're having a good afternoon this Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. My name's Caitlin. Glad to be with you here on Breadline. And today we've got a good show for you. We're going to be replaying an interview that we did last year with a poverty activist. And later I'm going to be talking about a letter that the activist received in response from Tanya Plibersek, a member of parliament. And we're going to talk a little bit about the role that unemployed workers have played in the labour movement in so-called Australia. So glad to be with you here today. My name's Caitlin. I'm going to be with you until 6:30 here for Breadline. It is, of course, the show that is presented by the Unemployed Workers Union, the AUWU. And we're so glad to be here on Radical Radio 3CR 855 AM, where you can get union news and views and radical perspectives that you won't get anywhere else. So I'm going to have an interview with you for you and going to play some music. And first, I think we'll go to the interview that I played that we recorded a year ago here on Breadline. And that was with poverty activist Sophia Redjeb. Now, they put up a petition to the government asking to stop the partner income test on welfare payments. Now, if you're not aware, then when you receive a payment like I get, like the disability support pension, then you will, if you have a partner, especially if you're living with that partner, then your payment will be adjusted down to according to how much your partner earns. Sophia will go into the problems that can cause for disabled people, for women especially, anyone who's more vulnerable to intimate partner violence. And we'll also talk about why the DSP isn't high enough either, and that needs to be in a living level. But I'll talk about that later in the show. Now I'd like to go back in time to 2025 when everything was okay. I'm just kidding. and we recorded this interview live on Breadline in the studio here on 3CR with Sophia Redjeb. Now, because this interview is from a year ago, some of the info about how many, signatures they had on their petition and things like that is not up to date. But I'll chat about that after we listen to the interview. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 855 AM. And now I'm going to play, before we get to the interview, I'm going to play a song by an artist that I just love, Odette Mercy. This is You Lose on 3CR. That was Odette Mercy with You Lose here on 3CR 855 AM. You're listening to Breadline with Caitlin. Hello. Hope you're having a good Labor Day weekend. And now I'm going to play for you an interview that we did here on Breadline a bit over a year ago with Sophia Redjeb, a poverty activist who put a petition to Parliament to remove welfare's partner income test, which we'll explain in the interview, but can be a bit problematic. Well, more than a bit problematic for people like me on the DSP if our payments get cut because our partner earns, quote unquote, too much. And of course, this can trap people in situations that are unsafe for them. And we also talk about how the DSP rate needs to be raised. And then I'll have some responses, some updates from what we talked about after the interview. So stick around for that. So now here we are, me, Jessica, and Sophia Redjeb from an interview from February 2025 here on Breadline 3CR. So please tell us about this petition that you've put to the House of Representatives.
Sure. So this petition is calling for an end to the partner income test across all welfare payments. It also asks for the DSP to be raised to livable levels and safeguards to protect people from economic abuse. But this petition is demanding a similar thing that was unsuccessful in 2023. The system hasn't changed since 1961, and it's basically dependent on how much your partner earns. Your payments will be cut because of that.
Yeah. So that's interesting that you say it's been the same since, did you say 1961?
Yeah.
And I was wondering about that because when I was looking into this, it seems like this sort of rule is based on an old model, you know, the nuclear family model that we used to have in Australia, or that used to be assumed to be the norm in so-called Australia.
Exactly. The Sex Discrimination Act hadn't even passed yet, and wow, being gay was still decriminalized. Still criminalized, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, these days, the assumption that a couple should live on only one person's income just seems laughable.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. And when one of the couple is disabled, which is the case for so many people I know, you have usually, you know, when you're disabled, you have to pay what they call the crip tax, which is that life is more expensive. Everything's just a bit more expensive when you're disabled. There's so many more fees and accessibility things and mobility aids that you need to buy, more medicine, all the doctor's appointments.
100%. The cost of living for a disabled person is 50% higher than the average person. It's insane.
That feels right, actually. I was surprised, and then I was like, no, that feels right. But yeah, so tell us about the partner income test. What do they actually do? What does Centrelink actually do?
So, I guess it's when you receive welfare from the government, you are basically forced into financial dependence by them. So if you're on the DSP, for example, and your partner earns, you and your partner together earn over $372 a fortnight, your payments start getting cut 50 cents to the dollar. And the maximum amount of DSP, that's the highest amount that you can get on the Australian welfare system, is just over $1,000 a fortnight. So it's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing, yeah.
Yeah, and just for like context, the median employee earnings for one person as of like August last year is just about $1,400 per week. And that's about $2,800 a fortnight. So we're living well under that on the DSP.
Yeah, there's $25,000 a year. It's unbelievable.
Yep. And then it's sort of like Services Australia saying that if you move in with someone, they could be on a minimum wage, but now because you're living with in a couple, you're supposed to now rely on solely mainly on their income.
Exactly. And it's even if you don't live with your partner, it can still be classed as that.
That's true.
But the idea that if you move in with this person that they are now financially you're financially dependent on them is crazy, because it's like if you moved into a new place with housemates. They're not going to take over everything that you pay for. It's unbelievable.
And unfortunately, a common experience for people on welfare is being investigated, but, you know, what their relationship with their housemates is. I saw a news story about I think it was someone who got who was involved in the robo-debt, who got caught up in the robo-debt. And part of what the conservative right-wing media here was trying to do was say that because he had had a brief sexual relationship with one of his housemates, that they were a couple and that they were defrauding Centrelink. And this sort of thing happens, unfortunately, too often, like all the time.
I'll just jump in there. Yeah, I was just saying to Caitlin before we went on air, this used to happen in the 70s where if you were on a single parent's pension, they assumed that they could sort of go in there and actually that you must be having some relationship if you're in a share house if there was a guy in the share house. So they basically had the right to, they'd do things like spy from the outside of the house to try and work out what was going on.
I think they still do that. Like if you remember a few years back, it was sort of being touted as progress that same-sex couples or queer couples were being recognized by Centrelink, but it was actually so that they could investigate even more couples. It was a real backhanded win for us. So what do you hope so can you tell us what the petition is calling for and what you're hoping that the outcome will be?
For sure. So it's calling for an end to the partner income test for all welfare payments and for the DSB to be raised to livable levels and for safeguards to be implemented to protect people from economic abuse. I'm hoping that we could get at least one of those passed.
Yes.
But fingers crossed.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
I think a big part of what is different about this petition than the one that was put up in 2023 was the focus on how it leaves people vulnerable to abuse. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, like, and how does this affect people on the DSP specifically? Because I know that a lot of disabled people end up sort of trapped in maybe abusive or even just not great relationships. They struggle to leave because, you know, maybe they lost their pension because they were in that relationship.
Exactly. Well, I started a thing where you could share your story, and I've had over 100 people share their stories of their experiences or just because they care. And there was such a complex one in there, which was a woman was with her partner. He became abusive. She hadn't declared their relationship to Centrelink. He then said if she ever told anyone that he would then go and tell Centrelink that she had been lying about them not being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, and to this day he's completely got away with it because it's such a complex thing. She would owe Centrelink money, they wouldn't take it into account.
Yeah, this is the unfortunate truth, is that abusers will use the state, you know, to further oppress and abuse already marginalized people who are already vulnerable. And I just want to say you're here on Breadline, and if this subject is I don't know, too much. You know, we all need a bit of support sometimes. You could always call Lifeline, the crisis support line, on 131114, 131114, or you could always call 1-800-RESPECT about domestic violence and other problems in relationships. Sophia, it's been such a pleasure talking to you about this really important subject.
Thank you.
I know that there's 10 days left on your petition.
Yes.
Where should people go, and what are you hoping people can do to support this?
They can go to the Parliament of Australia e-petitions website, and you can find our petition. I think it's on the third page now. It's end the partner income test in welfare payments. And it would be great if people could just share this as far as they can, because you never know when you could end up relying on this welfare as well.
So true. Yeah. And I see that as of this afternoon, you've got almost 7,000 signatures, which is incredible.
Yes, it's amazing.
So Sophia Redjeb, activist working on making welfare payments more equal and equitable. Thank you so much for speaking to us here on Breadline.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was an interview that we recorded here on Breadline in the 3CR studio back in February 2025 with poverty activist Sophia Redjeb, who has been doing really great work trying to pressure the government to end the partner income test on welfare payments and also to raise the disability support pension up to a livable rate. I actually live on the DSP myself, as mentioned in the interview, and can tell you that it is not enough to live on, especially when you are disabled. Now I'm going to go to a quick message, community service announcement. Is that the right phrase? I know things. And then we're going to come back with some some information about a response we got from Tanya Plibersek to Sophia Redjev's activism, coming up on Breadline on 3CR.
Hi, I'm Cam Smith from Yanar Pasaran.
I'm Andy Fleming.
Andy, quick question. The commercial media, that provides a voice to marginalised communities, doesn't it? And as governments around the world take a turn to the far right, it provides a critical anti-fascist analysis?
Cam, how many times do I have to tell you this? No, that's not the case.
Ah, that's not good. So who is doing all that?
Cam, community media, including 3CR, Melbourne's community radio.
And how can we support 3CR in doing that?
We can subscribe, Cam, at any time.
By visiting 3cr.org.au or calling the station on 9419 8377. Subscribe to 3CR.
And stay anti-fascist.
That's right. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR. I'm Caitlin, and I just want to share with you a response that Minister Tanya Plibersek gave in a letter in response to the poverty activist Sophia Redjeb, whom we just heard an interview with from February 2025. And as you heard, Sophia's petition got over tens of thousands of signatures to end the partner income test on welfare payments and to raise the DSP, and got a pretty, honestly, I would say, in my opinion, condescending letter in response from Tanya Plibersek. The ministerial response letter starts with like a couple of paragraphs of just basic information about the DSP. Quote, pensions, including DSP, are generally paid at the highest rate of income support payments in the social security system. So she's responded, Tanya Plibersek has responded to, you know, to poverty activists saying that the DSP is not enough to live on by saying, well, actually, it's the highest in the social security system. So, I mean, what does that tell you? that, you know, I can tell you that if you're in a couple, you, the individual on welfare, can get a maximum of, currently, I think, get a maximum of $444.25 per week on the DSP. So that's less than half the national minimum wage. And I think it's always important to on days like Labor Day, to think about how, yes, we fought for the minimum wage, we fought for the 8-hour workday, but what about people who can't work? And why are we expected to, you know, disabled people, chronically ill people, people who are just being kept out of the workforce due to ableism or prejudice, why are we expected to live on so much less than the minimum wage, even sometimes on the poverty line or below it, on the DSP, as Tanya Plibersek says, one of the highest rates of income support payments in the social security system, as if we're meant to be grateful. And I just want to point out that even when we're living on half the minimum wage, our expenses aren't halved. We still need to eat, pay rent, go places, live our lives. So Plibersek continues, DSP recipients can also receive a range of other supports. And then she lists the Commonwealth Rent Assistance, PBS, pensioner concession card discounts. She mentions like you could save money on your electricity bill if you're on the pensioner concession card. I worked it out. You could probably save about $5 a week. I mean, that's good. We're glad to have it. But like, is that going to bring you up to a living wage? Like, no. Yeah, so basically on the max DSP payment, you're still only just above the poverty line, if not on it or below it. Plibersek says, quote, couples generally share their expenses, such as various utilities, including electricity, gas, internet, and water, end quote. So I just want to say to this, we already mentioned it in the interview before, but disabled people have higher costs of living. And in Australia, so-called Australia, we actually don't know how many disabled people are living in poverty because people, to quote here an essay from last year from the Power to Persuade blog, research in Australia and internationally has long shown that people with disability need higher incomes to achieve the same standard of living as people without disability. Finally, Plibersek says, the income test is designed to encourage people to supplement their income support payments with other income. My question is why? Why are you trying to push disabled people into work, chronically ill people into work? We're on these payments because we physically can't work, or we mentally can't work. Like it doesn't. And you know, the sort of argument that then we have to go and prove that we're in a financial abuse situation, that we're in an abusive relationship, so we need we're a special case. We need special reasons. To, you know, go to Services Australia and prove that you're in a domestic violent situation, that just shows no understanding of how the abuse dynamic works. So going to the trying to live in that, being a disabled person on such a low income, no money of your own, and in an abusive relationship, and then you have to go and do admin to prove that you should be allowed to have enough money to leave your abuser. It's inadequate. It's condescending. It shows little awareness, and it basically does nothing to address anything in Sophia Redjo's petition. So it was really disappointing. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR. We're almost done, but at first I just want to, because it is Labor Day, I just want to shout out the work that unemployed people have done in the labor movement in Australia since its beginning. And I also want to shout out the constant work of First Nations, Indigenous people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders here in so-called Australia. So much of the labor movement has been led by some of the most marginalized people here. And I thank them for their labor, and I hope to continue to be an ally and be part of it. Thank you for listening to Breadline. My name is Caitlin. You're listening to 3CR on 8:55 a.m. or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. I'm going to go out with a song here. I thought this was appropriate for Labor Day. And since we just had International Working Women's Day yesterday, I am myself a woman. I am working and And I am laboring and an unemployed worker. I'm just like meeting all the intersections for these 2 days. I'm going to go out with a classic. This is Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. Thanks for listening to Breadline on 3CR.
I tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. I pour myself a cup of ambition. I yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Then I jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the street the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. To watch him shatter, you're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. And you're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in. The tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. I just met working 9 to 5.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.